Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wild old time of year now, round 12 in the NRL heating up. And just as we go to air, Lakey, I've refreshed the button. Angus Crichton out 2 matches. What timing? Great timing by the SC report.
Ugh, brutal. Can we start
what
again?
What a way to start.
Can we start again?
I usually stuff the intro up as well. And we're doing this 3 or 4 times over. So maybe it's just my browser playing up. But yeah, there we go. Roosters having a bad night at the judiciary. First Radley, now Crichton.
That's it. Both upheld. Radley's out for 5. Crichton's out for 2. So may as well flick him. He's going to be missing Origin.
You know who I feel most sorry for in this whole sorry saga is poor old Daily Telegraph writer Rob Sutherland. Brought in Victor Radley as his big buy last week, and I liked it. I thought it was a good shout. And then sort of remembered about 10 minutes into the game, like, oh, yeah, this is probably not an ideal setup for a guy like Victor Radley.
Yeah, he just lost his freaking head 4 times.
Yeah, it certainly did. How did he not get sent? I don't know. That's last week. Anyway, been on the Sunday pod, actually with almost your namesake, Lay K. I don't know if you listen, but geez, mate, I reckon some of our fans out there could do a little bit better. He's actually almost, I think he's now on the top 1K. Here we are.
So did he give us any pointers, any advice of how we can fix our seasons?
Basically just said, just keep up the good work. I think doing everything we do not, or everything we tell them to do and do the opposite, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yep. But, mate, well, I just have a look at our run sheet here as we get into the usual spiel of the pod. But you've had a cracking week there, 15.33 up to in the 4 figures.
I did, yes. I was dropping rankings quickly. So happy to be in the, what is it, low 9,000s, I think I am, on the way up. I'm the rocker of the week.
Might not be the rocker of the week.
Yep. Nice.
The rocker of this podcast, mate. Absolutely on the up, buying very high. So I'm 1494, 11K. So I thought I'd have a huge jump. And then I looked around at some of the other scores in the leagues. There was another 1800 overall.
Yeah, there was some massive scores. I did my usual par tweet on a Monday morning, and I think it came at about half 1400, which is just insane. These were sort of top-end numbers only 2 or 3 years ago.
So it was unthinkable. Now they're just putting them back to back. I think they're basically the same scores we had last week. So it's a crazy old time of super coaching, really. All the elements leading to big scores. There's some players absolutely on the up and up, and there's some rule changes that might not be helping out a lot of sides. 12, 11 men defending in your line is never going to really hold up, and you're going to leak some points. I think that's what we're starting to see. Maybe it'll level out as the season wears on and some of the worse teams get a little bit better. But, yeah, I think we're just going to have to get used to some of these massive scores. And really, the big thing is get your captaincy right. So how are you doing so far, I guess, overall? You're the captain's guy for the site. How would you say you're faring 10 out of 10 so far this year with your picks?
I'd say about 9 out of 10. How many rounds have we had? 11. Yep. I did captain Ponga for a 40 at one stage. But I think other than that, I'm going pretty well. Generally, captaining a triple-figure score. Oh, if not, going pretty close too when Fafita's had a down week and scored an 87 or something like that. So I'm pretty happy with how I've gone this year, and it's the last couple of weeks especially have absolutely turned my season around with Cleary going, what is he, had 400 points over the course of the last 2 weeks. So doubling that's been absolute game changer.
You know, I'm actually reading on the site some people saying, how do I bring Nathan? Should I bring Nathan Cleary into the side? Like, why isn't he in
I'm
there?
Sorry, what?
I know I get asked this question quite a lot. Why don't I have Brian Toe? Why don't I have Dave Feeder? Why don't I have Kirk Capel? Whatever. But now it's my turn to ask, why don't you have Nathan Cleary?
What are you doing? A few people started the season by trying to go a pod route by, no, Cleary's too highly owned and I'm going to go elsewhere and Jesus. Kicking yourselves. Absolutely kicking yourselves. There was Cleary or nothing at the start of the season, and he's proven so.
George Williams buy at the start of the year might not be looking too flash at the minute, but there's plenty going on in the background for this pod. Anyway, we're not going to do the usual TLT game by game in detail like we normally do. I think we'll go short and sharp with some of the bigger highlights coming out of the team list dropping today. We'll then launch into some of the key questions coming out of this week. So Sam Walker, obviously a massive trade out target. He had a very bad week last week. A lot of rage trades, even myself included. So I've currently got him on the out list of my own. So we'll look at some of the options people are going and whether or not we should be moving him on or whether we just hold fire. We'll talk a little bit about some left field or one left field option that I've picked out my own side, and I've spoken to you off air. You've done the safe route. So, of course, we'll go left field. Love a safe route. Always protect up, and you'll go what your safe play is for this week. And then we'll talk a little bit about our captaincies, obviously. I thought it was set in stone, but you've gone a little bit different to me. And then we'll talk. This is probably, as we mentioned before, Nathan Cleary going from strength to strength in the millions. First time ever for Supercoach. We'll talk about whether or not we might actually contemplate moving this guy on, banking some cash, because you could basically just have a side flush with guns way earlier than you would normally do. Normally, it's you know, around 20 onwards when we start to get enough money to have out and out guns every position. But a guy like Nathan Cleary, so much money tied up in one player, is it a smart move or not? That's the pod for tonight. Lakey, let's get into the injuries and suspensions. Once the injury list doesn't actually take up a full page, it's quite nice to see here. Lakey, what's going on?
Not a lot. As I said, it's been pretty quiet as far as injury goes, which is really nice. Harry Grant, we got that news just before last week that his hamstring was a little bit worse than first thought. So he's now in danger of missing State of Origin 1, but I see physios just tweeted out to see that Harry's been back in training. So he's looking at likely suiting up for Origin 1. I wouldn't be surprised to see him miss round 14 as they sort of manage that, but it is good news for us Queenslanders. He should be back,
hopefully. You kind of got to have Reed Marnie there, though, surely.
He'll be in the squad. Non-owner. I think he'll be in the squad, and they'll give Harry Grant up until game day or whatever. Maybe even have Marnie on the bench and case that Hammy gives out halfway through the game. But, yeah, it's looking a little bit dire as Marnie owners. But, you know, as a State of Origin, big State of Origin fan, you'd rather play it safe there, I think. So go Grant and Marnie. The other one, Papi, we were there to watch that on the Sunday, and he got absolutely KO'd in Magic Round. Missed last week, obviously. Bellamy's come out on Saturday night to say that he's expected to be out for another 3 to 4 weeks. They're going to play it safe with him, considering a history of concussions with the young fella. So, and, you know, Nico Hines is doing a pretty good job, so there's no need to rush him back. The other ones of main interest, I guess, CNK came out and said he needs surgery on his neck. It hasn't rehabbed as well as he thought, so he's probably going to be out for the rest of the season, if not returning round 24. So, you know, sort of why would you bother? Elliot Whitehead.
Just stop you in your run there. This is probably fucking hilarious, but I'm just having a look at Ryan Pappenhausen, because I was having a gander at how many players still got him, 14% of sites. He is traded in this week. Two people have traded him in for David Fifita. Yes, I just love this feature. Supercoach Gold, I think it's an exclusive, but you can have a look at who players are moving people in and out for, and two Supercoaches.
That's brutal.
I'm moving them in for Dave Fifita. Who else you got? People are trading out Gutho, Nico Hines, he's gone. I don't know what's going on.
You're not reading this the wrong way around, are you?
I am certainly not, because you flick to the other side and 4,000 trade-outs for Matt Burton. So, for whichever super coaches have let their mates take charge of their sides, I think you just need to cool your jets. Anyhow, sorry, Lakey. How bad are they going?
So, CNK's out for a little while. Elliot Whitehead, his finger was basically at right angles. I don't know if you caught that during the game.
That was lovely.
Disgusting. So he's questionable, and he's at the judiciary tonight to downgrade. I think he's just got a fine, but he's trying to get it downgraded anyway. Your boys, Connolly Lamelu, thumb fracture. He's out for 6 weeks. So it looks like Jarvid Bowen is all but certain for a spot for the next month.
After we just said on Last Week's Pod how Jarvid Bowen does not have a guaranteed spot in the side when Hamiso returns, which he did this week. Mm-hmm. Bowen's on the outer. And then lo and behold, 6 week injury, Bowen lasts. But 6 weeks will take him back. We'll have Lemuelu back before that round 17 bye week.
Well, so owners of Jarvid Bowen, won't it? Yep.
Owners of Jarvid Bowen and his likely 20 points each week from here on out might not get the cash rises they once did. But that's a pessimistic Cowboys fan. Continue again.
The rest of the injuries are all HIA related. You got Francis Molo, Cody Ramsey, Jaden Hunt, and Max Feagai from the Dragons. They're all sort of floating there and around. I know Ramsey and Hunt, I believe, have been named. Max Feagai.
Yeah, Molo and... Yeah, Molo and Fiona are both out.
And Josh Mansour as well. He copped a really bad knock. Caught the back of Toto's boot when Toto scored his try. So Mansour looked very dusty walking off, and he's been given a week's break for it.
Poor bloke. Suspension news, obviously. Hot off the presses, Sir Crichton and Victor Adley, they're both gone. So Crichton's out for 2 games, which he won't be able to take over Origin, from what I understand. So it's going to be round 12 and round 14. So he's not going to be back until... round 15. So that's a huge blow for owners and a lot of cash now sitting on the pine. I didn't plan on talking about this guy because I had a look at the footage and I asked you off air, you hadn't seen it. It was so innocuous, this tackle. And it was the late hit into the back of the playmaker, which obviously they're trying to stamp out on. But I thought Crichton did enough to sort of pull out and it was quite gentle. Has some carryover points that led to this more lengthy suspension. But yeah, that's rotten news for us owners. Are you, I guess, without having him as a topic of conversation this week, are you looking to move him on this week or next?
Potentially. I'll see what I can get for him, but I don't know if you can hold him now. I was hoping he would get off, as you said. I've got my advice from you and a couple other boys who said that it wasn't that bad, but I know it's a type of tackle they're trying to get out of the game. So they're setting a precedent, if nothing else, and then just saying, if you're doing this sort of hit, we're not going to let you get away with it, regardless of what your intent is or whatnot. So
tell you what though, now good chance for you to upgrade him to Isaiah Papali'i. And may I just add as well, I'm just throwing in these little tidbits here, but I had a look at our ratings again on Apple, and we had a new one from last week, and someone was mentioning that you dropped the name Ice. And we didn't actually clarify who that player is. If we could do that from now on. I even was a little unsure, but I just rolled with it. So Ice is Isaiah Papali'i, and Lakey will never do that again.
No, that's me. That's on me. I've been the victim of that plenty of times with people using nicknames and me not understanding who they were, so I should have known better, so I apologize for that. Yes, Ice is Isaiah Papali'i. On that, there's a couple more boys who are suspended. Kurt Capel's out for a game with a crusher tackle. Your mate, Jason Tomalolo, careless high tackle. Did he? His dog hit him high, I know.
that was quite a funny one, yep.
And so he's out. But, yeah, so Tomalolo was out for a hit on Tyson Frizzell, which ended up with him in the sin bin. And Frizzell, moneymaker, looking a bit worse for wear. And then the Brisbane pair of Gamble and Lodge are both out for a week each. And I saw someone say the positive of these suspensions for Gamble and Lodge especially is that, you know, they'll be there in round 13. So they're missing this week. There's no chance for them doing something stupid for round 12 and being suspended for round 13. So they should be back.
That's exactly what I said about Tyron Peachey as well. He was gone for 2 weeks. He can't possibly do anything dumb up to now in round 13. So he should be suiting up. Touch wood. But yeah, at least for Tyson Gamble, the only risk is that Anthony Milford kills it, right?
Yeah, which I don't think that's a huge risk.
Yeah, just never know. It's a wild world, mate. 13 plus for the Broncos last week, I think, was paying $40-something. So I could have another story on my house if I was, had that foresight. But there you go. To be fair, having a look at some other odds this week, the Bulldogs, they have a line of 35. They have been given that against the Panthers. So.
From what I understand, the Bulldogs are the longest ever odds to win a game at. It's at $19. Wild. And the Panthers are $1 to continue their streak.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one for them. But worthwhile. Anyway, look forward to that one.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's a few other suspensions, but they're not really Supercoach relevant. So I won't delve into them too much.
Love it. Let's get into the short and sharp game by games. Should I play that after every single game, Lakey? Yeah or no?
I probably wouldn't if it was me.
And the fact it's so short and sharp, we could get so many give you loves to a Cowboy man in a short space of time. Broncos going up against Storm, the resurgent Broncos against the side that they never beat at Suncorp or really anywhere else. But notables for them, for the Broncos, Matt Lodge, who's been much talked about as a potential new buyer for you guys.
Yes, out with
suspension, surprise, surprise. He's probably of some relevance because I know people were looking at him as a cheap-ish option in your front row. So is he too much of a risk now, suspension-wise, and also is he going to you guys?
Yeah, so the last I saw was that he's a chance of suiting up for us in round 13. So I don't know what's going to play out over the next week and a half or whatever it is, but he may have played his last game for the Broncos and heading down to the Hunter. If that's the case, he's still playing round 13. He's suspended this week and be back for round 13. And if he's suiting up straight away, don't know what capacity, but he'll be playing.
Very interesting. T.Y. Rabati is going to take his place as a cheapie. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes. But I look forward to him becoming your Josh Maguire. I had to put up with him in my side for 2 years. So, yeah, you can have fun with
I was not stoked about that news.
For the Storm, Jerome Hughes, he's back. Very interesting play for this week for mine. I think he's a great shout despite the price tag. So he's coming up against a club that he, I think, likes playing against. So look forward to seeing how he goes. And obviously, as you mentioned, Ryan Pappenhausen out for potentially another 3 to 4 weeks, which definitely hurts his long-term value as a super coach option. I hope he gets back on the park quickly. But obviously, in his place, Nico Hines is just absolutely toweling up. So, anyway, if you've been smart enough to jump on him, you're sort of happy with that news. That's there.
But, well, and speaking of that news and Pappenhausen being out, they played the Broncos in round 4, which they ran away with it, and Pappenhausen had a 197 that night. So, Nico Hines is looking likely to put on a big score again.
Cows and Cows and Warriors, Friday night game, early one. Cows and Warriors, indeed. Yeah, played them 3 weeks ago.
What's happening with your boys, mate? Lolo's out. What's the runaround?
We've got Cohen Hess, big Cohen. He's always my joke super coach option, but you never know. Could be a decent shout if he gets lock minutes. But, yeah, he's in the front, well, playing at lock there. He should get some decent minutes. And Hamizo, he's back, obviously, for Lemuelo. So, as we mentioned, good news for Jarvid Bowen. New owners from last week. He kept getting cut out against you guys, but they seem to really love paying out for LBAs for Val Holmes rather than Jarvid Bowen. I feel like he passed the ball a couple of times and didn't get rewarded. So, yep, I don't know. He's gone the old Petahiku from the glory days of, what was it, 2019, when he just couldn't get a stat. He might be the new Petter, who ironically is coming to the Cows next year. So, all happening. Otherwise, not a hell of a lot going on supercoach-wise. For the Warriors, though, Reece Walsh killed it last week. It's amazing how much confidence these sort of young players have, but he's, again, got the number one jersey in RTS, still on the wing. Josh Curran's still at least a week away, which would have him back for round 14, fingers crossed. Reece Walsh, interesting option, though. Cheaper alternative to anyone else at the fullback spot that you might be thinking in that gun mold. But I don't know. I think he's one for the pod hunters more than anything, right?
Yeah, he is. And he's someone I was looking at for post round 13. So he'll be playing round 17. I was hoping to be able to bring him in cheap. Had his big breakout game a couple weeks too early for my mind, so he's going to make a ton of cash by then. But someone to watch heading out the other side of the first buy.
Yeah, if you have a look around, I mean, you've got Tommy Turbo, who will play Origin and will also then have to back up 2 days after it. That round 14 game for him is a Friday night matchup against the Cowboys, early game as well. So tough one for him. And obviously Tedesco, the Roosters often like resting their players, particularly someone like Tedesco, who's going to play a big role in Origin this year, you'd suspect. Even Gutho, he might be in Origin as well. He's a popular fullback option, pretty pricey as well. So a guy like Reece Walsh could actually provide you a bit of stability in there. No silly buggers with late outs or anything like that. So yeah, a couple of good reasons to have him in. Obviously, the thing is he just doesn't have the pedigree, given he's a rookie in this side here. And the Warriors, they've had a pretty good – they've tailed up some – lesser players. I know against us, he had a 30 a couple of weeks before that, which is still lingering there. But even in that game, he looked very, very dangerous. So I think every single time he's been thrust into the fullback spot, whether it's off the bench, whatever it is, he's killed it. So, yeah, I like what I'm seeing from him, but I guess longer term, that may be the worry.
Yeah, that's it. The thing about the round 17 bye is just an absolute it's just a wasteland for fullback options. You've got Caleb Aiken and Will Kennedy and Reece Walsh as the guys who are going to be playing fullback in that round, plus whoever's suiting up at the back for the Dogs and whoever's filling in for Teddy, Val Holmes, Latrell and Turbo. So, I mean, it's just an absolute wasteland. Reece Walsh is far and away the best option. It was going to be RTS, obviously, but he's past the torch, so to speak. So Reece Walsh is looking a fantastic buy post. But as I said, just he put on a huge game last week, scored a try, set up about a billion others, and he's going to be making a ton of cash over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, he's a play for the round 17 buy, but I think longer term, if you don't bring him in sort of this week or next, he's going to skyrocket in value. And then you've got to think about, are you then going to have to spend a trade to bring back in a Turbo Teddy, whoever it might be?
Yeah, that's it. So he wouldn't be someone you keep until the end of the year, but you'd be riding his scores through round 17, then hoping to flick him for the run home.
Tigers and Dragons, what should be a cracking Friday night game here. Jeez, the Dragons are getting some decent billing, aren't they? Wow. Sharks last week and Tigers this week. What an absolute blockbuster, Quinella. For the Tigers, yeah, great news, mate. James Roberts, he's back.
The Jet is back, ready for takeoff. Can't wait.
It is kind of a moment too soon because all we needed him was for round 13.
So yeah, really hope he gets through this game and can suit up again next week. He's been sitting there at center wing 7 for me since the start of the year and doing absolutely nothing, and resisted the urge to trade him out when I could have, but now I need him to put on, I don't know, 3 tries, make up for it. That'll do.
Honestly, we'll take 20 points if it means not copping a zero. So, fingers crossed, Jimmy on the wing can get through this game, not stuff up too much, not piss McGuire off that much, and he can suit up again come round 13 when we actually bloody need him. Jake Simpkin, I think he played 19 minutes last week. He's actually dropped off the interchange. Tom Amone takes his place. So, good news, I guess, for Simpkin owners. I mean, he had a terrible score last week, obviously, with no minutes. You kind of do really hope, if you've still got him, that he does find the way into the side for round 13. 267K, 37 break even. If he's benched, he's not going to score that. So, really, the only thing you're holding him for is that 13.
Exactly, yeah. But I think with Simpkin too, he was named in the reserves last week, if I'm not mistaken, and got pulled into the game day side. Mm. So, it's another one to watch Stozzy's mail for. Lean into that. Next to him on the reserve bench is Stefano Utoi-Ikimanu.
Nice.
It's just, they're two guys we've been hanging on to, hoping they get a run back. I hit up Wacko last week as a Tigers man, and he said he feels like they'll both be in before round 13 because they've been training with the firsts and stuff like that. Simpkin got the call up last week. Hopefully Stefano can be next week.
Would love it. That's fantastic timing if that is the case. Dragons, meanwhile, I talked about Cody Ramsey last week a little bit as an option. He's 250-odd-K. Named a fullback. Obviously, Dufty's still maybe a week or two away, which would have Ramsey there for round 13. Overcome a HIA, so he's suiting up this week. But, yeah, he had one pretty good run last week against the Sharks, and that ultimately ended his night because he was clubbed high and went from the field. So he, in his one run, looked okay. So good enough signs if you want to take a punt on a guy that's hopefully going to play fullback. But I guess, yeah, hold that punt until next week when he's actually named there. But Ramsey's a guy I'm, again, keeping the eye on. And the other one was Max Fionnai. I had my eye on him, obviously had a pretty decent score last week with a couple of tries and then got an HIA and isn't named this week. But he's replaced by Braden Williami, who has not actually lost cash. So he started the season 201K, and I think he's gotten it up to 209 with an average of 20 from 6 games. So
he's flying.
Yep, absolutely. He could just be off the refresh he needs off that calf injury. So keep an eye out on him just in case he goes ballistic this week. The game we have all been waiting for, Panthers and Dogs, 3 p.m. This Yeah, I worry for my Dogs fan friends that they might have to sit through what could be a very, very tough afternoon. Not that they're not used to that.
Serge Buster will be thinking of you. Yep. I'll be flicking you messages left, right, and center once Cleary's running all over your boys. But, mate, look back at it. Last week against the Bunnies, a top four side, Cleary dropped 190. Against the Titans, who are pushing for that top eight, he broke the record for 225. What is he going to do on the Dogs?
Probably get a rest after 20 minutes when they are 50-0. But
you'll
honesty,
still be on 150 by then.
You just never know. Hey, Broncos beat the Roosters by 14 or whatever it was last week. No one saw that coming. The Bulldogs are in a similar sort of state. You just never know. Maybe Penrith are going to treat this one a little bit lightly. In any case, they don't really have injuries to blame because Kurt Capewell, he's out suspended for a week. Liam Martin shifts straight into the back row for him, and Stephen Crichton still at fullback with Dylan Edwards a while away. So the injury list isn't huge. The casualty ward is not a lengthy one. So no reason that they shouldn't absolutely towel the Dogs up. But I don't know. You just never know. But if you own Penrith players, you've just absolutely
playing everyone,
captaining them.
You're playing Stains.
Are we
against the Dogs,
that now?
I think you would. It's going to be hard. I know you put a 12 on last week and everyone was expecting better things, but it is the Dogs. You've got to play the matchup. If that's what you've held him for, you've held him for the matchups, you play him for the matchup.
But he had the matchup last week.
Against the Bunnies.
Yeah, well, it was a daytime game. So you're saying it's reverse Stainscology. So, okay. All right. I like it. Let's just go with it. Everyone bring in Charlie Staines this week. Look forward to that one for the
Captain
Dogs.
Him.
Not much. Yeah, absolutely. Good news for them, Josh Jackson back. So, you know, may just steal that defensive line a little bit. He hasn't had a big history of injury, so it'll be interesting to see how he fits back into the side. Jackson Topany returns as well. He's in the starting spot for dummy half. Sione Katoa is suspended. But the big one, I think, for me and how this affects them is Luke Thompson. So has been going about with limited other experienced senior heads around him. Josh Jackson returning. Do you think that hurts him?
No, I don't think so. He's been getting through a ton of work and doing what he does. He had a big game last week with a try, so 97, 92, something around that. I think he's just going to continue getting through his works. He'll probably play the same sort of minutes. What's the real kicker is Cody Waddell, Corey Waddell, who's been playing pretty well. He's been shafted to the reserves, so that's where the minutes are gone. Corey Waddell's playing pretty decent minutes. I don't see anybody on that bench stealing Luke Thompson's minutes too much, or especially with Bradley Dietz there.
Firstly, we speak in code with names like Ice, and then we get the players' names wrong.
Yes, I'm really good at this.
What can we do right? Good.
Certainly not super coach.
Score prediction for this game, mate. Maybe we'll come back to this one next week, see who's the betting aficionado. So I'll go Penrith 62, Bulldogs 18. They'll score three tries.
Three tries. I think you're being very kind. I'll give them 8, and I'll say 56 to 8.
In what should be a much tighter game, because these two sides absolutely disappointed over the weekend, Rabbitohs and the Eels come up against each other at ANZ Stadium Saturday afternoon. For the Bunnies, thankfully for them, they've got Cam Murray coming back. He'll be much needed in that side. I think they lacked a bit of his influence out there. Josh Mansell, he's going to miss this week. And Tane Milne, the former bloody goat, dual second row centre wing, Cheapy, he's back. He's going to play a game. Could be maybe around 17. Who knows? Tane, good to see you back, son. Jai Arrow, he's back starting at prop. Tom Burgess back to bench. So a little bit of shuffling around. I'm surprised to see Jaden Sua, who's meant to be the Broncos savior for next year, as well as Liam Knight, both relegated. I thought some of Wayne's favorites. So not really mucking around. Latrell's there, obviously. You've got Cody at 5'8", who was very quiet over the weekend. So I don't know. I expect a bit better out of them this week, and who knows, maybe Benji will even get a run. But they were just so bad. And also, what's with Damien Cook? Everyone's now starting to talk about him, which he hasn't ever had in his career. There's never been a point in time where Damien Cook's had to battle the media calling him out, but now he's copping it. So is this the start of a resurgence?
Potentially. Maybe he'll get a different game plan in Origin and get some confidence back from that. We've been saying it for weeks. He's been out of the game, and I think he's just been feeding the halves and Latrell at the back and letting them do the work. He's not running the ball as much. He seems to just be picking very few chances he has, and he's picking them when he can. Otherwise, just shuffling it around and making his tackles. So not getting any attacking stats, not getting any line breaks or assists or anything like that, just playing his role. So I just don't know. Maybe it's a Wayne Bennett thing. Maybe we'll see the return of Damien Cook in the Sky Blue.
I've got to say, must have been his worst game, maybe even from a statistical perspective, but last week didn't take a single run, gave away a penalty, dropped the ball twice in pretty crucial times of the game, well, crucial parts of the field when the Rabbitohs were on the attack. Missed five tackles, which is worst.
But,
he's had a few games like that, actually. Four missed tackles.
Really fault the Bunnies because, I mean, the Panthers are doing this to everybody at the moment. They're just absolutely destroying people. You know, the Rabbitohs obviously had a bad game, but it was against the premier competition in the NRL at the moment. So we'll see how they rebound this week. Getting Cameron Murray back is a huge boost to the squad. He's been sorely missed. His go forward and quick play the balls, which has really helped Damien Cook over the last few years. So hopefully they get a bit of their character back, a bit of their spirit. And I can actually push the Eels into maybe a second loss in a row.
Could be for the Eels. They don't really have much of Supercoach relevance here. Obviously, Dylan Brown still out, and Jacob Arthur getting his third game. So he's a cheapie with a break even of -9, only available at halfbacks. Obviously, not a popular one, but interesting enough for him. He's played okay, I guess, in a well beaten side last week, and obviously scored the try the week before. So good stuff from him. And again, I don't know if you saw much of the game on Sunday. It was a cracking game, but Isaiah Papali and Ryan Madison were both subbed off at various stages of the game.
Yeah.
Matto the first half, and I think Papali in the second. And you got Bryce Cartwright in there. He came out and just stunk it up. Standard Cardi. So hopefully, fingers crossed for Matto, they learn from that and just don't mess with it. But I don't know if that's going to be the long-term play. We're just going to maybe have to get used to 60, 65 minutes from both those guys.
Well, from what I understand, Matto came off in the first half for HIA, which he passed and came back on, but then there's no explaining the second stint on the bench. So I just don't understand what BA is doing over there.
Yeah, I was at an HIA. Did not know. I just saw his absence and got a little angry. And especially when Cardi is throwing stupid offloads like he normally does. But Papali, I think that's a couple of weeks in a row now that he's been taken off for a bit of a spell, which I guess makes sense. He's probably not had the history of huge stints in the game. Obviously, this year is an entirely different kettle of fish for him. He's killing it. But I don't know. Does he drop back a little bit in value, or is he just that damn good this year that it doesn't matter how long he's playing, it's just what he's doing out
there? I think he's just that good. I mean, he's only played, looking at it now, he's only played 3 80-minute games because he pushes from he starts out wide and pushes into the middle and plays his regular work rate in there, so he gets a bit of a rest. But, you know, with his 70-minute game last week, he scored nearly a ton. 3 weeks ago, he played a 70-minute game and scored 125. It's just, he's just been performing when he's out there regardless.
Since round 4, he has only had one game where he hasn't scored a try or set one up. That's pretty incredible for a second rower, you know, in a guy that's not really been established in the NRL since before this year. So whatever Brad Arthur's done with this guy, it's absolutely worked. So credit to him and any Supercoach owners out there. Chooks and the Raiders again, two sides looking to bounce back, at least for the Roosters. The Raiders, though, they are in a world of hurt off the field. I don't know what's going on. Who knows? It's a strange old time for a club that may have had its premiership window.
James Hooper certainly doesn't know.
He does not know. I did like seeing the look on his face when George Williams came out with the tweet mid-NRL 360. That was quite funny. But, all is not right at the milk. But for the Roosters, tough loss last week, but a side like them doesn't stay down for too long. Angus Crichton and Victor Adley are obviously out this week. TKO, interestingly enough, is back in the starting side in the proper rotation. So he's been okay, I guess. If anyone's held on to him, he's done salvageably for, I think, 50s and 60s. Maybe one down score the week before that, but doing okay now back in the starting side. Won't have goal kicking though, because Sam Walker's still there.
Is it a permanent move, do you think? Say Isaac Liu was starting in the prop and now he's moved to lock to cover Radley. So it's a 5 weeks that Radley's out, and TKO is now in prop backfilling Isaac Liu. So once Radley's back, is TKO demoted again?
I don't know whether it was just an easing TKO back in from injury, whether they're just giving him a bit of bench stints to come on against tighter forwards or whatever it might be. But I see TKO as surely a starter longer term. But I think we spoke about him last week. Without the goal kicking and sort of a guaranteed decent stint on the park, it really dents him as a super coach option. But I guess conversely, he's now dropped a ton of cash.
Yeah, he's just over 400K at the moment. He's got an 80 break even. So if he can get, even if he does have a decent game this week, he's still going to be low 400s for anyone wanting to pick him up in round 14.
Joseph Suwali drops out this week as well after making his much-awaited debut. I thought he was okay. Possibly robbed of a line break. Yeah, definitely not their worst out there. And I think you can see there's a bit of flash there ready to burst. For the Raiders, Jordan Ruppin, a much welcome back return from him. He pushes Semi Valame out of the side. Sam Williams, he's a new halfback now that George Williams has been given the boot. So he's gone back to England, and Sammy Williams comes in, 380K. And I think you mentioned off air he had some ridiculous game last year that's ruined that.
Yeah, that's it. So round 20, the Raiders rested all their finals guys, their starter guys, and Sam Williams led the baby Raiders to a big victory over the Sharks. Had a huge game, scored a ton, I think. And I think I picked him up in – the only reason I know is I picked him up in one of my draft sides and won a final with him. So cheers to you, Sammy.
Yeehaw, indeed. Tom Starling retains the starting number 9 role, and Hodgson comes from the bench. There was some talk, I think – 360 guys, of course, but they talked about potentially moving Hodgson to halfback for the rest of the year. I don't know. I think Sam Williams has probably been around the traps long enough that he can handle that while Jack Whiten sort of does the flashy stuff. So I don't know. I'd be interested to see what that does with Hodgson, but I think he's effectively ruled out as a super coach option anyway. One guy, I think he's still quite low owned, is our boy, Corey Harawira-Naira. Possibly one of the Raiders' better players from the last few weeks, doing his job out there. A couple of offloads was handy last week with the game gone. But, I mean, for you and I think we're liking what we're seeing.
Very much so. So we watched him at Magic Round, always a chance to score against his old club, the Dogs, and he did so put on a 71. And then I was worried about him coming up against Melbourne before Melbourne dropped almost in their entire side out, and the Raiders having done so as well. Corey Harawira-Naira was required to put in a big work rate, scored another 70. So he's been really good over the last couple of weeks. He's got a break even of 11, just over 400K. The risk getting him this week is he doesn't play next week, the first bye round, but he should hold his starting spot through round 17 anyway.
Sharks and Titans down in Coffs Harbour, interesting location. But for the Sharkies, Talakai, our boy from last year, he's back just on the bench though. Jesse Ramia Noodles, he's back from an eye injury as well, in the centre spot, vacated now by the injured Josh Dugan. Suspended. Sean Johnson, SJ, suspended, of course.
Yes, you got to clarify because it could be injury, but yes, suspension this time.
That is, and apparently his first suspension ever or in the last 7 years or something incredible. Yep. Interesting stat. SJ, he's been back, and for some reason they've dropped future premiership cowboy Chad Townsend to the bench, which means both our halves recruits for next season are currently playing in Reggie's for very ordinary NRL sides.
It must fill you with supreme confidence knowing that you've given Chad Townsend the same contract that Adam Reynolds just got.
I drowned out everything you just said, mate. I'm sure it was all... great stuff for the chat, but he's gone. And Andrew Fifita back on the bench as well. So not quite there. I think we called him as potentially being the Cardi of the last couple of rounds, the old ex-supercoach goat that's going to come back on the bench and kill it. He has not. So there you go. Titans, the return of Dave Fifita. What a play if you've held on to him for this long. Please do not trade him out for Ryan Papenhuyzen, or do. You know what? Just do it. But yeah, Dave Fifita, obviously it's going to be a scary proposition for any non-owners this week, of which I'm hoping a lot of people have now joined me. It's great to be on this side of the death ride train, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yes, but I've just lost Angus Crichton, so I'm looking for a replacement.
Short term, though.
Yes, short term. So, yes, that's the thing with Fifita. He'll play the Sharks this week, likely have a pretty good game, all that pent-up aggression and whatnot. Origin next week. Then comes back against the Rabbitohs in round 14 on the Friday night, so just 2 nights after Origin. So there could be missing a couple of games in a row there.
Very interesting player, 852K.
And 154. Something.
Yeah, which he could always clear this week comfortably. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to watching this one. I hope they just ease him back in, but we shall see. Knights and Manly. Well, you boys were ordinary against us last week for about 20 minutes, then okay, and then ordinary again. So not sure how you're going to fare against a better side than us, but Manly is certainly that on a daytime game at home. This could be a bloodbath, but you do have some cavalry returning, mate. Talk us through how you're going to win.
How are we going to win? The Seagulls bus could stall out on the way to the stadium and have to play their Reggies. So,
slash tyres, turbo
slash tyres. Yep, that's it. No, the Ponga returns, Braden Best returns as well. So big ins. The best news for us is that means Kurt Mann is nowhere near the fullback position. He returns into the halves. And he'll be partnering Crossland with Blake Green announcing his immediate retirement from the game. So don't know, like anybody who's watched the Knights over the last couple of weeks has seen that the game has moved past Blake Green coming back from his ACL. He's a bit older now. The game's got way faster. So he's come to that realization himself and decided to hang up the boots. So cheers to you, Blake Green, for all you've done throughout the NRL career.
There you go.
Finally, you will be missed. Cheers. But yeah, so getting back to the Knights and Supercoach relevance, it's the same sort of lineups. Fitzgibbon had a big game, which hurts us hoping that AOB would see what we're all seeing, and he's useless. So Barnett's still there in the lock. Watson at 14. They'll play their usual roles, I think, and sort of affect each other.
And assume Ponga coming back means he's goal-kicking?
You would think so, but he was out with a groin injury. So if that's not near 100% and whatnot, then maybe he still – let Barnett play with it. Goal kicking, not the groin.
Lovely. Yeah, Mitch Barnett, you got one shot at it last week, and then Phoenix Crossan was kicking all your goals when he was off the field. So not ideal timing. But yeah, it's just I cannot wait to get rid of Barnett. As much as I think he's a valuable enough player, the lack of minutes, we've talked about it for a while now, is just killing him. So under 500K now, it's, yeah, round 13 and then move
That's
on.
That's the problem. Barnett's a great player. He's just got to be on the field to do that.
Connor Watson, though, interesting one. He looked, you know, an inch or two away from busting a tackle and maybe breaking the line last week. I thought he was okay, but I don't think he had a single tackle bust to his name after the end of that game and still sort of eked out a 44 like they all did in about that many minutes. So, I mean, Connor Watson for me is probably still an interesting final reserve kind of play, at least in a daytime game like this. Maybe it opens up a little bit more in that second half stint. Would you be backing him in for a decent score this week?
I think he's going to get around a 1 ppm, so it depends on what minutes he's playing. And I couldn't tell you what that is week to week. They're changing so often. But he's very dangerous coming on. He was running game against the tired forwards, small nippy guy and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, he can definitely get a big score. I think he had a 70 or something the week before in just about 30, 40 minutes as well. So as soon as he comes on and gets a attacking stat against some tired boys, then he's putting up a good score. He's worth plug and play if you need him to, and definitely worth holding until round 13 by.
Manly, on the other hand, they're going from strength to strength. So obviously, Tommy Turbo's leading that charge. But Josh Schuster, he's been a name much talked about this season and also now getting talked about as potential Origin Smokey. So there's always one of those players. Yeah. He never actually ends up playing there or whatever, but his name is talked about despite only playing a handful of games. That's Schuster. In this case, he's named at 5'8 again, where he was, again, just a huge influence on that result last week. Had his hand in a lot of the tries that Manly scored. So he could have been rewarded with a few extra try assist points, but he wasn't. In any case, he still eked out a 60. So doing great stuff for them. But the big one for them is that Curtis Sirenin's back from injury. He's been named on the interchange bench. So potentially could eat into either the minutes or starting spot for one of, you'd imagine, it'll be either Carl Lawton, who's there as a fill-in, or Sean Kepi, who's there as well. That shouldn't affect Schuster, right?
No, well, Schuster's playing in the middle now, in the halves. So
even when he's back, I should say, when Schuster's back and Foran's returning.
Once Foran's back, that's when it'll start getting murky. But, yeah, they're going to have to play these guys somewhere. Carl Lawton's an injury risk. He was first game back after a long, well, short actual Achilles rehab.
Yeah, I think it was way short. It was like 5 months.
5 months. It was six, seven, one of the shortest ones there was. But it was, say, a long layoff anyway. Came back and he looked really, really good, scored a try. But still, they're still going to be easing him in, I think. So Curtis Surinen, they'll share some minutes along that edge there.
Anything else in the eight games that we've gone through, mate, before we go to a quick break?
Just a quick one. I've seen his name bandied about a little bit this week, and I didn't realize he was doing so well, but Ruben Garrick is going at 72 right. points per game at the moment. Last three games, he's got 65, 92, and 128 against the Eels. He's just gone bananas since Tommy's come back and just putting up tons for fun.
Yeah, we were all talking about him at the start of the year as being like a he's not going to last that long. And if you look at his scores, he wasn't doing that flash either. But then, yeah, maybe new lease on life. And kicking goals as well. The Eagles are putting up a few scores as well. He's actually, I think, number 10 on the trading list this week. Well, obviously it's catching the eye despite a
Turbo came back in round six against the Titans, didn't he? Or was it the earlier week against the
It was
Warriors?
Titans, yeah.
Well, he's gone since then. Garrick's gone 113, 105, 40, 65, 92, 128. It's been huge scores. The 40 came against Penrith too, so you can forgive him that. Better players than him have scored worse than that against the Panthers. So, it's just been phenomenal scores from him since Turbo's come back.
Certainly has. Very interesting play heading into the buys as well. Could be around 17 one.
Around 17 a little bit. Play. He's got a break even of 9 and he's 620K already. So he's going to be very expensive very shortly.
That is luxury trade with a capital L. All right. That's the team's part of the pod. We'll come back and then go through Sam Walker. We'll talk about our left field and safe plays for the week. And then also look at maybe we move Cleary on and bank some cash. Who'd have thought? Anyway, be back with you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
CSC report trades and captains part of the pod now. We'll go firstly, Sam Walker, number one trade out target for this week. Lakey, why would you hold on to him?
I don't see a lot of halfbacks worth grabbing. You've got Cleary, who's far and away number one. Jerome Hughes was probably next in the list, but around 13 play. And then you want somebody playing in round 17, and that's Sam Walker. So I understand the thinking behind it. He's had a couple of bad weeks. He's topped out price-wise. You've made a bunch of money from him. So you can trade him probably straight across to someone. But the two guys I mentioned are far and away the best, and you're looking at shelling out, well, 200K to get to Jerome Hughes, another 500K sort of thing for Nathan Cleary.
Hmm. It's a weird one. I mean, Sam Walker, I've had it pointed out by Lake, hey, the better Lakey on the pod on Sunday, but he has been, I guess, playing injured. There's been talk about him carrying that shoulder, I think it is, AC joint concern for a couple of weeks now. And if you have a look at his scores, they might be reflecting just that. And even last week against the Broncos, like obviously the Roosters were just couldn't get much of a roll on with everything that was going on around them with the referee's whistle. But Sam Walker just looked very, very much, I guess, out of his depth in that game there. Obviously, it was a tough one, but yeah, he was throwing intercepts, he was losing the ball. He just didn't look the player that he was when he first sort of burst onto the scene a couple of weeks earlier. So I don't know whether it is this injury thing or whether it's just the lack of forwards around him, but it's sort of a bit of a concern. If you'd, like me, hoped you could carry this guy right the way through till 17 and potentially beyond. Have you seen enough? Obviously, the 2 tons were huge, but is that enough to give you, I don't know, any hope that he might turn it around over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's every opportunity. He's still got some gun players outside him. So if those balls go to hand, he's got a couple of try assists and he doesn't score an 11 last week. But they just were got ambushed by the Broncos. They had nothing going for them. They had guys in the sin bin multiple times. And he couldn't get anything going. Coming the next couple of weeks, Raiders are a schmozzle this week, so he just got to get through that game. Then he gets a week off with the Origin break, and then in a couple of weeks he gets another break for the mid-season rep buy round, whatever they want to call it these days. So he gets a couple of weeks off over the next couple of weeks, and he should be able to get himself right. So I'm holding as an owner. I just don't see too many other options that I want to trade him to at this stage, so I'm just going to ride it out.
3 options then I'll give you, and we can go through each. Matt Burton, Jerome Hughes, and Albert Kelly. I'm just having a look at some of the trade-ins for Sam Walker this week, and those three are high on the list. Starting with Matt Burton, he's under 500K. He's 3-try hero from last week, obviously all well talked about. Should be moving into the halves, whether it's 6 or 7, potentially with Luai out as well. Who knows where he will land, but will play the first bye. And then going forward, you'd imagine, given Penrith are not losing any games, they'll rest some of their players and Burton will get more of a starring role. Are you seeing enough that you think Burton might be a play despite being at centre? Even that's not stopping him. So is it now that we have to start considering that he's locked into that spot long term?
Yeah, well, he is. He's won that spot on merit now. Momorowski's been back from injury for a few weeks, and they haven't. He hasn't displaced Matt Burton at all. So Burton's going strength to strength there. Put on 3 tries last week, obviously, and put up a big game. Him and Toto have formed a great combination down the left side there. They just look lethal every time they touch the ball. And as you said, he's going to be moving into the halves more than likely when Cleary's gone. So he is a good option. He's probably not one that will be a long-term option. He's going to be a guy that you grab now. Mm. Play him the next few weeks while his cash goes up from this big score. And then you might
only a 22 break even though. So he's got a 21 floating in his average. And this is what gives me sort of pause about bringing him in and seeing him as the big option. Obviously, like Sam Walker, you've got that 11 or whatever it was, 13 in the back of the mind. You've also got his 123 here, which could be clouding some judgments. So you have a look at Matt Burton's last few scores, 56, 34, 55, 21, and then 123. So there are occasions where he gets, might be Toto's time, they cut him out, whatever it might be, serviceable enough scores. But I don't know, I think you're kind of hoping for more of a out-and-out gun. Which brings me to Jerome Hughes. Interesting name, 700K. He's had a few big weeks that have really pushed that up. Will have to steal a bit more of the limelight with Cam Munster potentially out a little bit longer term. Ryan Pappenhausen not there, obviously. So Hughes has to play more of a starring role, which could be better or could mean good things for his scores. So if you have a look at his last 5 weeks, 102, 141, 80, 103, 74. Huge scores against some decent sides. Some decent sides there. Roosters, Warriors, they've been okay. He's got 140 on them. Souths, 103. He's putting big scores up against pretty decent opposition in one of the premier sides in the competition. No origin risk. He's a Kiwi. And playing the first bye. I mean, he's ticking every box for me. 714K might be the price tag. He's not ticking, but I don't know. I think I can match up against the Broncos this week. Break even of 89, every chance to do that.
In round 13. So, yeah, I really like Jerome Hughes. He's one of my favorite guys to watch in the NRL. He's just so lethal. And as you said, you did mention Munster just briefly. Was it Physio that tweeted this afternoon that his foot's taken a little bit longer to heal than expected? Yep. So he is a risk of missing Origin and a couple of subsequent weeks after that. That's a big watch for us Queenslanders and Munster fans. So, yeah, he could be – if I'm moving Walker, it would be to Jerome Hughes. It'd be there'd be no one else I'm looking at. And I'd probably be locking him in for the season. So it just means I'm going without a halfback for around 17.
Which could mean not if, based on our current sides, you're not having a fullback or a halfback for around 17.
Correct.
Could be an interesting move, but who knows? I mean, it's a long time in rugby league, as we always say, so no idea what our side will look like come round 17. But Jerome Hughes, I reckon, is a great shout for this week, despite the price tag. 89 break even against the Broncos at Suncorp. That, I mean, easily clearable, despite the Broncos being resurgent, as their fans will tell you. And the final one, speaking of the Broncos, is Albert Kelly. He's, I think, third or fourth on the trade-in list for Jerome, for Sam Walker this week. Any love for that move? 300K dual.
That is absolutely insane. He's played one game, guys. He played very well. He looked good. He was a good buy a few years ago whenever he was at the Titans. But as I said, if he is the answer to the Broncos' problems and they're going to be beating teams like this every week, then so be it. But I need to see some more before I bring him in, and especially playing against Melbourne this week.
Good return from him. He had a 40-20. He had try assists, try contributions, plenty looked of tackles, great. A lot of misses. Looked
great. And he was one of the better, as I said, he was one of the best players in the comp. It was 3 or 4 years ago when he was down at Gold Coast, but he's been out for a while. Looks a lot heavier than what I remember him. And he's got through his first game, gets to play with Milford this week. There's another consideration. So you just want to watch. I just want to watch and see what he does.
Tell you what, I would much rather have him at this stage than bloody Tyson Gamble. At least he's not getting sin-binned in the final seconds. Like, Gamble, for God's sake. Just do a Jimmy the Jet, please, and land in at the side for round 13. That's all I ask. It's a very small ask. So I think what we're saying, Lakey, is that Sam Walker would only be a trade-out this week if you go into Jerome Hughes. Otherwise, hold your fire and just keep him around, because he will get a couple of good week breaks over the coming month.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Trading Cleary for cash. Let's talk about that one. He is the first player ever to be over $1 million and climbing with a negative break even. It's an incredible run of performances from him. On the other side, so much cash. If we were to sell him and maybe move him down to a guy like, I don't know, a 200-300K player like Albert Kelly, you would have almost $1 million to play with around your side. And is that where you now need to consider, A, there's been never a history of a player being this high in the game, so therefore the only way is down, really, and B, this could really set you up for the run home if you manage to get these picks right, which is obviously the big question mark there. But are you entertaining this thought at all?
I hadn't been, no. But as I said to you, it is Cleary or no one. So if you're going to be doing this, you want to have a surefire plan to be able to get Cleary back shortly after the Origin break. For that run home, because you cannot go without him on that way home. Also, you wouldn't be doing it this week. He's playing the Dogs, as we said before. He's got a negative break even. He's going to earn some more cash. Depends what he scores. He might be $2 million next week. But you look at doing it next week. As you said, with Jerome Hughes at a, what was it, 89 break even, he's every chance of going down a little bit, hovering just around there, maybe going up 10 to 15K. He's not going to move in
too much. We just talked about him playing the Broncos. It's not 189, which I'd be a little more concerned about, but 89 is so achievable.
That's exactly right. So he won't be moving too much at all. Cleary's going up a bit. You make that move heading into round 13. You've made, looking at 400K there, you've got that to, you know, add on to a Stefano or a Leniu and grab some absolute guns. But make sure you've got a plan to get Cleary back. You need him there.
I think the thing we've got to think about, and we spoke a little off air about this guy, but Gareth Widdop was someone that came to mind when I think about people selling high.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
He got to, what was it, 800K, and I'm pretty sure we all freaked out and thought, God, this is unreal. How's a player up this high? And then fast forward, 2 years, and Nathan Cleary is going to be pushing 1.1, if not more. So it's a pretty remarkable one. You've got to think now, based on this performance, is how is he likely to be priced long term. So if it's 800, even 900K, if we think that's where he's going to settle, I don't know. It's a good immediate cash grab, but again, you've got to have that plan, as you said. So is it just playing silly buggers for the sake of trying to gun up a little bit?
It is. We've said all along, you don't trade your guns. You want to keep these guys so their price rises and drops are irrelevant. If we've had Cleary from the start, we've made 300K, but if we don't trade him, again, it doesn't matter. So, but the only thing is, if you want to put that cash to good use, you can bring in a round seven. Like maybe you grab Tohu. You can flick Stefano and grab Tohu. That's an instant impact trade for your team.
Yep.
And you haven't gone down too much to a Jerome Hughes, who's going to be playing while Cleary misses a few weeks. So it's hoping that Jerome Hughes' extra games over that time covers what Cleary's outscoring him by week to week. But the way Cleary's going at the moment, you just won't be going near him. He can't keep getting 200s. Surely he cannot keep getting 200s. I said Papali'i a couple of weeks ago with his try scoring, but it's just law of averages. He's scored 5 tries over the last 2 weeks, 400 Supercoach points over that time. The Panthers are killing it, but they've been killing it all year, and he's been going at 110s and 120s sort of thing. So these last 2 games are an anomaly on his yearly scores. I see him finishing the year probably around a 105, 110 average as opposed to the 120 he's sitting on at the moment, which means he's going to drop a bit of cash over the coming weeks. So trading him out next week, as I said, for a cash grab, and then bringing him in a bit cheaper. It's not the worst idea in the world. You've just got to be prepared for the death ride.
What I absolutely love and just emphasizes his absolute goat of a year is that his lowest score is 69. Well, what a year for Nathan Cleary. Absolute. And who knows, maybe he could have a low score this week. It's just a weird old year. But I think to settle on that whole argument, playing it safe in Supercoach, you just do not move this guy. Keep him in the safe a lot. Just hold the trades, whatever. Or, you know what, throw caution to the wind. No one else is doing it. No one will think about it.
Everyone if you're an overall player and you're looking for a pod advantage, this is the ultimate pod play, is to get rid of Cleary when everybody's trying to get him in.
And just don't tell anyone you've done it either, because then, you know, only if it works out, obviously. But, you know, if it doesn't, just keep it on the DL. Say someone hacked your side, whatever, Friday night beers got out of hand, whatever it might be, to excuse that one.
No, we've all been
But, you know, it's just a game. Throw a dart. I wouldn't mind. If anyone out there is willing to do it, would love to know how that goes for you. Speaking of left field, this is my play for the week. I've talked about Jerome Hughes. I've brought him straight in. Sam Walker, see you later. And the left field play and, you know, buying low, and obviously not a name that's sparked a lot of interest this year. He's been quite on the regress, but Viliami Kikau, buying him this week, Lakey. Thoughts?
Yeah. Good. Well done.
More of averages. Players can't be shit for a great deal of time either. So Vili Kikau, he's 400K. He's playing in a Panther side that's killing it and scoring tries and not scoring well at all. But a couple of reasons. So obviously going to play this round, and that's against the Dogs, and then he's going to play the bye week, and he's an international, so will not be a Origin candidate at all. Getting spelled in game, so relatively fresh. I don't see many restings for him. And now you've got Kurt Capewell out this week. So he's obviously eating a lot of Kikau's minutes, as is Liam Martin off the bench. And today, or in this week's game, Liam Martin's playing in the starting side. Vili Kikau should, fingers crossed, get an hour of attack at the Dog's edge, and then go into next week where he will be a star of the show yet again. So Vili Kikau, a couple of tons coming up, right?
Yeah, listen, I love his matchups, playing the Dogs, the Tigers, and then the Sharks over the few weeks. But even, like, he looked like one of the best Panthers on the field at Magic Round, and he scored a 40 in an absolute drubbing of the Titans. He scored
Look,
a try
no facts,
last week.
No facts. I don't want any negativity. I just want you to tell me how good this decision is. You know, the thing is, we always say, like, you're just jumping on bandwagons and you're following the crowd and all that. This is totally going against
this
the crowd.
This is a
right?
very left field play. I was exactly. very serious. I'm not going to – I won't lie. I was very seriously looking at him, being what he can do and the price that he's at. He's dropped over 200K since the start of the season. So he's cut price, Viliami Kikau. If he can get back to try scoring and running at his best, then you've stolen a pick here, some. But
he still is actually try scoring.
That's it. He scored a try.
54
and
58
60.
When he scored.
So it's just he's not a huge workload guy. So if he's not getting attacking stats, he's not getting points. I see it as a short play. It'll get you through round 13. I can understand going someone from like a, maybe someone's not playing in your side and you want to bring him in as an extra number because you got some cash, go for it. But yeah, it's not someone I'd be looking at getting and keeping long-term.
Trading out Saab for him, Jason Saab. So, you know, his combination with Turbo has been killing it, but now I just don't have to worry about, I've not played him at all this year. He's not playing 13. I don't know. It's just nice not to see his name there despite a little recent resurgence. So anyway, Billy Kickow, I'm 11K, so whatever. Bring this bloke in early. He'll turn up this week and I guarantee everyone will jump on him for 13 and then my whole pod play will be ruined. But either way, it's a couple of other 100 players that are jumping on him. So that's my shout for the week. And Lakey, you're going the safer route. Lol. Who are you going?
I'm looking very seriously at the cheese. First of all, he was drinking beers with us at Magic Round, or around us, or I should say.
From 30 metres away, he was from drinking 30, beers with
yeah,
us.
So yeah,
we had a beer with the cheese.
We were going to the bar there, the Garden Bar at Suncorp, and the cheese spent a good 35, 40 minutes walking from the seats to the bar and back again, stopping for every photo along the way. So just a genuine good bloke. It was tough to watch for him because he wanted to watch the footy. But, yeah, he's come out with a big game last week. You got Harry Grant missing the next couple, at least, possibly the backup game in round 14 with his hamstring injury as they try and get him through the origin period. Playing the Broncos and depleted Titans over the next couple of weeks, as we said. So he can put on some good games. Since missing Harry Grant, he scored 65s and then a 106 last week. So it's, again, possibly a little bit more of a short-term play. He might end up in the lock position, depending what happens with Finucane through Origin as well. But bit of a cash grab option for me and someone who's going to get a decent score over the buy round.
Yeah, I like it. Similar to Jerome Hughes, but a lot lower priced in this case, a couple of hundred K. So you look at him, he's not an origin risk either. So ticking some good boxes there. So I kind of like it, particularly now hooker, second row forward. So I know a lot of players have got Connor Watson and Jaden Brayley up there, or one of the Tigers hookers at hooker. But for the second row, I mean, you've got plenty of spots now, particularly with Angus Crichton now gone for a couple of weeks. So that's a very easy trade and one you'll make some cash from.
Oh,
so
I think Brandon Smith. As I say, I've got the money there to go from Sean Bloor, who's scoring 8 points off the bench in about 10 minutes, straight to the cheese and have about 100K left over. So I've got room to move depending on how I want to play it. And I just absolutely love that. I'm probably increasing my score 70 points.
Love it. Until Sean Bloor scores 3 tries off the bench in round 13. That's just how Supercoach physics works, mate. I like it. Let's move on quickly to some of the cheapies. So I filtered the list of Supercoach players who are playing in round 13 who have been selected in the starting side, no benchies, in the starting side, and potentially will play round 13 as well, assuming nothing goes wrong between now and then for them and their sides. So these are players under 300K playing in round 13. Starting from the top, there is one player who has averaged above 37, and that is Bronco Keenan Palacia. 81 last week, courtesy of a try. He's 186K, second row forward only. Does he pique your interest?
Not particularly. Again, he was on debut last week. He bagged a try. Our own catfish in the chat said he's not very good, so we took him on his Broncos word.
But, what would catfish know? He's only at every single training day they have.
Yeah, that's right. And then sometimes the back of their cars and whatnot to hear the chat. But he came into a side that absolutely steamrolled the Roosters. No one saw that coming and he scored very well. But one game in, he's got to be another watch against Melbourne to see how he goes on Thursday night. And if he scores relatively well again, then we reconsider next week.
I think we're booing him. I think he's a boo. Okay, that's no good. So Jacob Arthur, halfback only, 173K, playing his third game this week. Cheer or boo?
Boo. Dylan Brown.
This could get back real because there's a lot of boos. There is a lot of boos in this list. Sorry, Dylan Brown's back.
Dylan Brown's back next week, so he'll be straight back into the side. Then what? Arthur's gone for all money.
Mm. Billy Burns, William Burns, playing his sixth game, scored a 31 last week. He is priced at 239K, playing for the Dragons. Cheer or boo?
Ooh, that's a tough one. He's been playing in the centres to cover guys. and now gets his shot in the second row. But is it Kerr? Kerr was injured or suspended this week, so he'll be back next week and probably take Billy's spot. So I'll give him a boo.
Okay, Moses Emboy, Cody Ramsey, Braden Musgrove, Reece Kennedy. Of those, Emboy, no, do not go him. But Cody Ramsey is probably the one there I'm keeping an eye on to see how he goes this week.
Yeah, exactly right. See how he goes without a HIA game and then what happening with Dufty next week.
Who else we got? Jimmy the Jet. Lol, of course, we jumped on him early. We knew what we were doing. Lakey, we're geniuses. Chris Lewis for the Storm. Yep. Thank you. Storm, second row, 193K. He got a 73 last week, I think, with a try. And he's playing at 5'8". So just goes to show his versatility. But another one there. He's playing the Broncos this week. He's in the starting side. Could be filling in, so you never know. Maybe not. Won't be the worst option.
He's been named at 5'8" again next to Hughes. So they obviously trust him with the ball in hand. He can play that role. And so Munster's looking like he's going to be out for, the next couple of weeks at least and possibly more. So not a bad shout, but again.
What's Riley Jacks doing? Where's he? Is he injured?
No, he's there and thereabouts. I just don't think they like him.
Cooper Johns, he's on the interchange extended. Yeah, there you go. Chris Lewis showing some faith in him. Good to see. But there you go. Anthony Don. Center, obviously the GOAT for centers in the Titans lineup. 19 was his score last week. He's got an average of 21. They just don't like his side.
No, they just don't go anywhere near him. They keep going left. Even when Fifita's out, they kept going left.
Wonga Blake, 8 points, sin bin last week, average of 21, 300K on the dot. What do we like?
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like. He's absolutely the only man in the league that can stop Blake Ferguson from scoring tries, I tell you that much.
As a former owner of Fergo, I can attest, and I quite enjoyed seeing that last week after I traded him. And finally, Braden Williams. There are 12 players on this list, not a huge, extensive list by any means. But Braden Williams, the anti-hero from last week, last year, in fact, we did mention he'd made a grand total of, 7K, with an average of 20. So any love for the returning Williams?
Can't say I have too much of it. How long is Ravalawa out for?
I think it's quite an extended one. It's like four or five weeks,
but I can't remember exactly where that started. So, yeah, he should play next week, but is it really a warm body? Do you need someone that badly?
So, cheapies for round 13, I think it's safe to say RA.
Few and far between.
There you go. Boo, hiss, indeed. Let's finish with your forte, captaincy. Who are you going this week?
Well, we spoke about it off air, and you were saying how, based on the scores, you just lock in Cleary again. But I'm going to VC him in the early Saturday game, I believe they're playing.
Who's your AE risk with that play?
Plenty. So
everyone.
Everyone, mate. I've still got Saab sitting around there. I've got Bloor floating around unless I trade him out to the cheese. So there are a couple of risks. But, yeah, Cleary in 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon against the Dogs could be anything. So,
okay, what do you think? So your captain is?
My captain, I'm looking very seriously at going against my boys with Tommy Turbo. He's he put 150 on the Eels, who'd only lost one game this year and were, second best side in the competition. Imagine what he's going to do to the Knights, who have just been leaking points at the moment.
Scary proposition indeed, but I think, for a guy like Cleary coming up against the Dogs, almost at what point do you pull the trigger if he does go large? Like, how much do you think Tommy Turbo can actually score versus what Cleary may, and then what you're going to have to cop from a Sean Bloor 5 points in your AE? So that's sort of the consideration there, but you're taking a punt. Law of averages, as you said, Cleary cannot keep going this large, except maybe this week. I've gone him as captain, obviously, and Nico Hines, Thursday night game. I think he might go pretty large as well. So again, I just don't know what limit I'd need to see from Nico before I'd take the C off Cleary. So it could be a wild ride. And looking at some of these matchups, could be another week of 1400 plus scores. And just quickly, Lakey, stake bet update. How'd you like Mitch Moses last week?
Oh, what did he do? He torched it, didn't he?
Yeah, he got about 20 or 30, I think. So, boding well. I'm looking forward to my medium rare. I feel it. Yeehaw.
Dang.
Love it. That's our pod for the week, Lakey. We've combined them. We've cut right through. This one will drop for your Wednesday morning commute. Bit of a long one. Have us on 1.5, 2, even if you're willing to with speed. But, Lakey, it's been a good one. I look forward to this round. One more week before bye. It's the all-important bye week where we're all going to make our charge for the run home. So a lot to think about.
The week we've all been waiting for.
Certainly has. And a couple of interesting trades. So I've got my Jerome Hughes versus your Brandon Smith this week. Can't wait to see who comes out on top. Could be 180 versus 170, which we wouldn't complain about. But anyway, go you good things, the Broncos.
Oh, God. How dare you?
Thanks, mate. And good luck to you boys on Sunday.
Appreciate it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.